Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Midcurrent. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here. And if you were not awake yet, you will be now after that comes pumping out at you. We're really glad you're here. If you're new with us, either here at Camp St. Croix or maybe tuning in online for the very first time, I just want to personally say welcome. Really glad to have you here. Really glad to have you tuning in online with us. Really glad you could be here. In fact, you are here, if this is kind of like your first time checking Midcurrent out, you are here on a really great day because we're launching, as you saw and heard, we're launching a brand new message series today. It's a 5-week series simply called One. And the whole goal for these next 5 weeks is for all of us to develop a single focus in a very divided world. It's a 5-week series, as I said, and I'm really excited for a couple different reasons, but we're doing something new, and we're actually collaborating with two of our sister churches in the area, Cedarbrook Church in Menominee and Renew Church in Eau Claire, for this whole 5-week series. So my peers and colleagues and my friends, James Brown and JB Staples, will be here a part of the action with us as well, and so I'm really looking forward to that. Now, before I begin here with week one of this series, I need to add a little disclaimer to everything that I'm going to be talking about. If you were tuning in online with us this spring, it was late May, I preached a message then that is very, very, very similar to the one that I am going to preach today. And there's a reason for that. It's not that I ran out of things to talk about. It's not that I couldn't think of something new. And it's not that I just forgot that I already talked about this until it was too late to come up with something new. The reason I'm going to be preaching something that sounds very similar to something I preached not long ago is because in just the 5 months since that day, the necessity of a message that I want to share with you today has increased. The necessity of a message like this has increased exponentially. In fact, I'm not quite sure if I realized then how important this message would be now. Today. And so as we begin this series, week one of this series one, I just want to go back, if I can, and revisit some of the things that I said and speak a little bit more directly, a little bit more specifically to them and why exactly I think these things matter today. Because today it is a big day beyond Midcurrent Kids kind of being back in action. Today is a big day, and it's not just because it's the start of a new series, but today is a big day because it's also Election Day Eve. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but it's Election Day Eve. And so in 2 days, on November 3rd, this country is going to be voting for and electing a whole slew of new people to government positions all over the country. And the most important high-profile race is for the St. Croix County It's for the presidents, okay? And maybe now more than ever, our world, I mean, we're going crazy. We absolutely have election fever. I get no less, I kid you not, sometimes it's way more, but I get no less than 4 political flyers in the mail every single day. The best part is it's always like the very same candidate. I wish I could tell these candidates, save your money, right? They're all on advertising, you know, these days, like, hey, this is the fourth quarter, get your donations in today. I'm going, no wonder you don't have money because you're spending them on all these flyers that I just take and put directly into my recycling bin, okay? But that's not the point. The point is, it's crazy out there. And it seems like every single time you turn on the TV or you go online, every news organization online, on the internet, wherever it is, has another poll that they are publishing predicting who it is that is going to win. And so I thought it would just be kind of fun this morning if we did our own Midcurrent poll, just to see where everybody is at politically on this whole thing. Take a vote on where we are in a few days. My wife, Erica, said we should do this by secret ballot. And I said, no, this would be way more fun, way more suspenseful if we just have people raise their hands here this morning. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a second here, this is what we're going to do. And after the vote, this is going to be the best part, after the vote, and once we know where everybody stands and how everybody's going to be voting in just a few days, then we're just going to divide into two sides of the room, right? right, we'll have, you know, we'll be able to sit with our people. Trump voters will sit on the right. Biden voters will sit on the left. And any independents or indecisive, they'll just sit right down the middle. And this is going to be good. So we're going to start off with a vote here. We'll have the incumbent president go first. And here's what I need you to do. On the count of three, not a second before, okay? On the count of three, we're going to start with Trump. All the Trump voters, raise your hand. Here we go. One. I'm not going to do that. Right? Some of you are going like, is he really about to do this right now? Does he want his church to exist any longer? Okay, just so you know, there is no way I would ever do that. I personally speaking, I would probably walk out of a church if they made me do that. That's just me. I don't know. But there's no way I would ever do that here at church. But I wanted to just take a second and set it up as if we were going to do this because I want us to understand something very important. We are divided. And in regard to politics, here's what I want us to understand is true. Politics are designed to divide us. Right? Politics are designed to divide us. And since pretty much everything has become political in 2020, we are pretty much just a world that is divided on, it seems like, almost everything today, right? Sports continues to divide us. It used to just be that, you know, Packers and Viking fans could hardly watch the football game together. Now people are tuning in or tuning out because of the leagues, whether it's the NFL or the NBA. We're tuning in or out based on the league's stance on certain issues, right? Everything divides us. The coronavirus divides us. You put on a mask if you care about the people closest to you. No, are you kidding me? Masks are tools of oppression and they don't even work anyway, so we're better at home and no, we're better off at work. We're divided. Medicine divides us. Half the country is anxiously awaiting the Donald Trump promised vaccine. The other half will only take the vaccine if Dr. Fauci says it's okay and not a moment before. We're divided. Religion divides us. We used to divide over the carpet color in church and over electric guitars and the volume of the worship music. Right, I had a lady at my old church who she had an app on her phone. I led all our music. She had an app on her phone, and she used to measure the decibel level of every Sunday. And then she'd come to me and show me the decibel level, and like it was over what they suggest is a good decibel level. And I used to hate it then, but I'm thinking like, man, that just seems like the greatest problem to have these days, right? Because the truth is, now a church can't even make a decision about how to move forward and how to do ministry today without people accusing them of endorsing some platform or candidate or some other thing. Right? We're divided on everything. And our current political divide, I think it may be the most extreme right now. I'm not sure the division has ever been any deeper or maybe any more significant. And so as the media keeps ping-ponging us back and forth between fear and outrage, right, the issues of our day, everything from Trump to taxes to Supreme Court justices, it's just caused division. Everywhere. It's caused division in our workplaces. I've heard tales of some companies that have even put in policies that will fire people if they talk politics, right? It's trickled down into our neighborhoods. We're, you know, building like, you know, fences out of political signs, right? It trickles down even into our family. I was recently told about another article that referenced some individuals who refused to allow their parents to see their grandkids because of their political party. Okay, Midcurrent, I'm going to say it again. Politics are designed to divide us. But here's the good news about this. Jesus isn't afraid to tackle these kinds of hot topics in his teachings. In fact, when it comes to our current divisions today, which it seems like we're just divided about everywhere, when it comes to our current divide today, I think Jesus's words are incredibly relevant to our political situation today. Why? Because he saw it all coming. He saw all of this coming. What specifically, though, did he see coming? The election? Not necessarily. I think what he did see coming was our potential to divide over it. I think what he saw coming was our potential division over most things that would come our way. And he anticipated. He anticipated the collateral damage of division among his followers. And because he was so worried about it, and because he was so concerned about it, he prayed about it. Okay? Jesus prayed because our division, our separation, would be the greatest threat to the very mission that he came to earth to accomplish. So here's what I want to do today. I want to look at his word. So if you brought a Bible, if you have a Bible app, go with me to John chapter 17, where we see this prayer that Jesus prayed. You can also follow along on the side screens. Now, many of you here today will know that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples for what is known as the Last Supper. Okay? And then right after this meal, he took his disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane for a little prayer meeting. Huddled the guys up and they had a little prayer meeting. And during this time, Jesus prays a prayer for them, and he also prays a prayer for us. He prays a prayer for you and for me. And he had a very significant and he had a very specific prayer request in mind. Okay? Wouldn't you be interested to know what it is that Jesus prays for? I mean, he's a pretty important dude. Right? No matter where he goes, he can't go anywhere without people coming up to him, you know, wanting a moment of his time. They can't, you know, people are always coming up to him with their problems, or they need help, or someone they know is sick, right? The religious people constantly are trying to trick him, and they're trying to trap him, and they're always trying to accuse him of being a fake or a fraud or not the real deal. And soon he's about to carry on his shoulders the weight of all of the sin of humanity. So the dude's got a lot going on. Dude's got a lot going on always. And so I'm going, what is it then that he prays for, right? He's got so much coming at him every single day, and he's about to take on the weight of the entire world. So what is it then that he prays for? That's what I want to know. And here's the answer. It's in John chapter 17. Here's what's on his heart in this moment. Here's Jesus's prayer request, starting in verse 20. Jesus says, I am praying not only for these disciples that are there gathered with him right now. He's praying to God the Father. He says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Okay, Jesus is at the very end. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be tried. He's about to be crucified in just a few hours. And things are going to go very quickly from there on out. And so he's going to ask God the Father. He's going to ask his Father for something on behalf of his followers. Okay, not just the original 12, right then and there with him in that moment, but for all of us as well. So here's the thing you got to understand. If you're a follower of Jesus here today, you may not have even known it, but Jesus prayed for you. Okay, so what was his prayer request then? Look at it in verse 21. He says, I pray that they will all, okay? And all literally just means all of them. All was everyone who followed Jesus back in that day. All right, in the first century, all meant Jew and Gentile. It meant rich and poor. It meant educated and uneducated. It meant slave and free. It meant military leaders and soldiers. It meant tax collectors and those from whom the taxes were collected. It was everybody. All was everyone who followed Jesus back then. Today, in the 21st century, it means left and right. It means Republican and Democrat. It means independent and indecisive and libertarian and librarian. It means black, brown, beige, white. It means north, east, southwest, urban, suburban, rural, rich, poor, married, single. All means all of us. Okay? The all today is all people who do call Jesus Lord. And so here's what he says. He says, I pray that they will all of them back then, all of us today, that they will all, here's his request, that they would all be one. I pray that they would all be one. How? Just as you and I are one, he says to the Father. I pray that they would all be one, just as you and I are one. It sounds almost impossible, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds impossible, but to Jesus, it was essential, because the realization of this prayer, the actualization of this prayer request is imperative. Why? Because our unity as his followers, it is mission critical. His one prayer at the very end, it was not a prayer for us. Okay? It wasn't a prayer that his followers would never have to endure a four-year term of a president with whom they disagreed with, right? It was not a prayer for us, but rather it was a prayer for what God could do through us. Okay, look at how Jesus talks about this. It's still verse 21. It says, I pray that they would all be one. How? Just as you and I are in one. Then he says this, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us. Here's why. May they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. You catch that? Okay, we cannot miss this. Okay, the reason that Jesus is requesting unity for us has nothing to do with us, okay? Jesus prayed for oneness because of all the people that were gonna be watching us, right? He prayed for unity for us, not for us, but for what God would do through us, right? Oneness because of all the people that were gonna be watching us. Jesus essentially says, may they be one for the sake of those who do not yet believe. He's saying, God, may they be one for the sake of everyone who is watching them and then developing opinions about you, God. For that reason, may they all be one. This is amazing to me, and it's challenging too, right? This prayer, it isn't for those of us in the church, but it's actually for those outside the church who don't yet follow, who maybe even doubt, who maybe even roll their eyes in skepticism, who maybe wave their fingers in opposition. Jesus prays this prayer with them in mind because he wanted them to know about God's love. And do you know the one thing that would compromise the message of God's love for the world? It's when the world sees God's people don't love each other all that well. And so just to make his one final prayer request to the Father crystal clear, Jesus reiterates his request one more time as he starts to bring his prayer to an end. Here's verse 22. He says, Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, and may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Okay? More than anything, Jesus wants the world to know of God's love for all people. That is the mission that he literally gave his life for. And so before he left this earth, it's also the mission that he passed on to his followers, right? That's the mission that he gave them. Love God, love people, love one another as I have loved you. Go and make disciples. Go to the ends of the earth as a witness to God's incredible love for all of humanity. And friends, here's the thing, okay? Jesus passed that very same mission onto us as well, right? To be a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ and to God's love for our friends, for our family, for our neighbors, for our coworkers, and for anyone else that God has put in our lives. So in other words, right, through his prayer, Jesus is telling his followers, right, both to the original 12 and to the 2.4 billion Christians today, through his prayer, Jesus is telling his followers that our witness to the mission of Jesus Christ, to the message of God's love, he's saying our witness to the world, it is multiplied by our oneness with each other. I think that's what he's trying to get across to them and to us, that our witness to the world of God's love, it is multiplied by our oneness with each other. That is the message that I shared with you all this summer in relationship to anything that might divide us. At the time, I was speaking very generally about all the things that might divide us from people in our lives. And today, this is the message that I want to share with you when it comes to the political divide that exists. Jesus prays, may they be one so that the world would believe that you sent me and that you love them. May they be one for the sake of those who don't believe yet. May our witness be multiplied by our oneness. Because here's the deal. When Christians, when followers of Jesus are one with Christ and one with each other, okay, when there is unity, despite our diversity, the church grows. Okay, not just Mid-Current Church, right? The church, the Big C church across the planet grows. When there is unity despite our diversity, the church grows. And that's how Jesus wants to do it. Because when we are able to love unconditionally, despite the fact that we might disagree on some things fundamentally, then the world will see that the love that God really does have for them, because they will see it in us first. They'll see it in the way that we interact with one another. They'll see it in the way that we treat one another. They'll see unity despite our diversity. And the impact of our witness will increase because, why? Our witness to the world, it is multiplied and it is magnified and it is amplified by our oneness with each other. Now, let me make something very clear here that I want to make sure is clear anytime we talk about a message like this. Oneness, which essentially is Jesus's one hope. It's his one prayer request for us, that we would be one. This kind of oneness, it is not the same as sameness. Okay? Jesus didn't pray, "Heavenly Father, the one thing I'm asking you is that they would all just be the same." That's not what he prayed, okay? That's not what he said, and that's not what God wanted. In fact, next week, I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that we are not the same. And there's a moment when that really kind of happened for the first time, and I wanna talk about why that is, okay? Jesus wanted his church to be a beautifully diverse collection of people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue to come together under the one name of Jesus Christ, right? As much as I would like it, Jesus didn't say, "May they all be Vikings fans," or "May they all be iPhone fans over Android," right? He didn't say, "May they all be Baptists or Lutheran or Catholics." He didn't say, "May they all be Democrats or Republicans." He didn't say, "May they all agree on vaccines or Supreme Court justices." He didn't say, "May they all agree on climate change." He didn't say, "May they all just vote for the same candidate this Tuesday," right? His last prayer request before he left, he didn't say, "Come on, God, please, can at least all of the Christians just agree on the same guy?" That was not his one prayer request. Instead, he prayed essentially, "Heavenly Father, no matter what it is that comes their way," he says, even when my followers find themselves disagreeing fundamentally, can they still demonstrate, this is his prayer, can they still demonstrate to the world that they love each other unconditionally? Even when they disagree fundamentally, can they still demonstrate to the world that they love each other unconditionally? His prayer is, may they be one. Because he knows our witness is going to be multiplied by that kind of oneness. He knows that our love for one another just very well might get the world's attention. Okay, here is the reality of our situation this week. Here's the reality, okay? Your political candidate will win or lose based on how Americans vote this coming Tuesday. But the church will win or lose based on how every Jesus follower acts every day after. We gotta understand that, folks. Your political candidate will win or lose based on how Americans vote this coming Tuesday, but the church, Mid-Current Church, the global church of Jesus Christ will win or lose based on how every single Jesus follower acts every single day after. Okay, the mission of Jesus moves forward, right? The mission of Jesus marches on based on how we treat each other, based on how we love each other, based on how we love our world, starting right now, starting today, starting this week. So here's my ask for all of us, right? Here's my ask for all of us who are followers of Jesus. And if that isn't you yet, then maybe you get to take a pass on all this. I don't know, right? But here's my ask for all of us that are followers of Jesus. Take the next couple days to do a little inventory of the relationships in your life. Take some time today or tomorrow or Tuesday to ask yourself, who is it Who is it that you need to work at being one with today? Who is it that you have, you know, just kind of like cut out of your life, right? Cut out of your relationships, cut out of your social gatherings, cut out of your, you know, your social media circles. Who is it? So think about the people in your everyday world, in your sphere of influence every day, right? Think about the places and the spaces where God has placed you. Who do you need to be one with today? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a boss, right? The disagreements and the conflicts and the, you know, it's all just gotten too much and the gap between you grows larger every day. Maybe it's with your in-laws, right? You really just cannot get over the one comment that they made at Thanksgiving dinner years ago. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's an entire family, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's an acquaintance, right, who doesn't look like you or doesn't worship like you or who doesn't vote like you. It does not mean, I want to be clear about this too, it does not mean that you can't or that you won't disagree fundamentally, but you can definitely take a small step toward them relationally and toward loving them unconditionally. Midcurrent, it is so important that we get this right because I believe that it is mission critical, okay? That's why Jesus' last prayer request was for his followers to be one by loving each other just as he loved them, because in doing so, the world will know that God loves them as well. And that's what this whole charade, that's what this whole deal that we're a part of here today, that's what it's all about. Okay, so we've got a few days left to figure this out, or maybe a few weeks or a few months, who really knows, right? We've got a few days left to figure this out, and Jesus prayed that we would. And regardless of who wins on Tuesday, the church can still win if we can figure out how to be one. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, God, who is really the only one that we need to put our hope and our trust in every single day. God, we thank you for the mission that he came to this earth to accomplish. God, he was sent here so that we would know how much you loved us. God, there was no way that we could do enough or be good enough or be perfect enough to kind of claw our way up to you. And so you sent a piece of you, God. You sent your only son down to us. And you, God, you sent him here with a mission that all people would know because of who he is, that all people would know of your love for them. And so, God, that's what I'm praying that we would be about. We've got an incredible opportunity every single day, God, to help more people see of the love that you have for them. And so, God, I'm praying that all of us here at Midcurrent, I'm praying that we might lead the way in what is sure to be a crazy, emotional week or few weeks. God, I'm praying that all of us here today, that all of us watching online, that all of us who call ourselves Jesus followers or all of us who call this place home at Midcurrent, God, I'm praying that we would lead the way for what it looks like to disagree fundamentally, but to still love unconditionally. God, I'm praying that we would work as hard as we can to find unity despite our diversity, God. I'm praying that we would lead the way and that our world would take notice and that hearts would be opened to you in a way that they never have before. So God, we're praying for our country in the next few days. We're praying, God, most of all, that you would be our guide, that you would lead us to be the people that you want us to be, so that the church can win every day that is still to come. And so we're praying all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're so glad that you could be here with us today. Before you go, if you don't know someone sitting near you, make a small effort to say hey and introduce yourself. If you got your kids, grab your tag and you can go find them downstairs. Other than that, we pray that you have a great week and we will see you right back here as I will continue our series one for week number two. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.